You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast for Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. This is a daily podcast covering the New York Jets. We have new episodes Monday through Friday through most of the year. If you enjoy this show, subscribe to it where podcasts are found, and we will send you new episodes each morning as they are posted. Also, leave the show a good review. And if you don't like this podcast, you can go ahead and skip the review. On today's show, we are going to continue our series of episodes setting up the offseason for the New York Jets. As the new league year begins next month, the Jets will start to make changes to a roster in desperate need of changes. I think most of us have pretty solid opinions on every prominent Jets player and many players who are not that very prominent. However, that does not necessarily mean Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, and the other decision makers view these players the exact same way. I think that's one of the things you have to acknowledge when you are observing the NFL, when you're analyzing the NFL. Just because you have a view on a player doesn't mean that your favorite team shares your view. It's something I encounter frequently. I may have a favorite player, but all the signs are pointing to that guy not returning because the Jets just don't like the guy as much as I do. Or, to be honest with you, in recent years, vice versa, where the Jets love a player and I do not, and the Jets decide that they need to keep that, they need to bring that player in. So many years, the Jets have signed the guy that I absolutely did not want them to get in free agency. But there are many players on the roster where the view of the decision makers is unclear. And the way the Jets actually view these players could send the offseason on radically different trajectories depending on how much they value the player, how much potential they think the player has, how much money they think the player's worth for their role. And we're going to talk about some of these players who could shape the offseason this year. And we're going to break them into a couple different categories. And the first category is kind of obvious. It's the quarterback position. And there's only one player in this category, and that's Sam Darnold. Now, when I look at a situation, when I try and make a prediction, I try and figure out what's the most obvious move. Because the most obvious move is frequently what happens. And when you're talking about Darnold, you're talking about a guy who really has not been good enough through 3 years, especially year three. I will continue to say that I think that there was enough potential displayed year one, year two, to continue to year three. But you always need to prove yourself. You always need to show enough to get yourself the next year. And I don't think Darnold showed enough in 2020 to guarantee himself 2021. So I think the most obvious possibility would be for the Jets to move in a different direction at the quarterback position. And the Jets also happen to have the second overall pick in the draft in a quarterback class where there are several players who could be deemed worthy of that pick. So I think the most obvious scenario would be for the Jets to move on from Darnold, for them to draft a quarterback at two. And what about Deshaun Watson? Well, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the most obvious scenario. Now, it might be the most obvious for the Jets to try and get Deshaun Watson, but it's not necessarily a situation where you can count on the Jets getting him, because first of all, Houston's got to be willing to trade him, which I'm still not sold at 100% that they will. And you also have other teams you're going to be competing with, other teams that will make big offers. So for the Jets, Deshaun Watson may be the most obvious scenario, but Deshaun Watson going to the Jets, if you consider all the factors, is not the most obvious scenario. Now, that said, there is a school of thought in the NFL, clearly, that Darnold is a talented guy, that Darnold can be fixed despite all of his issues. Is it totally out of the realm of possibility that Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh, and the decision makers want to give Darnold a chance? And part of this comes down to the alternatives. You know, in a world where maybe Houston doesn't trade Deshaun Watson this year, where they let the situation play itself out, or in a world where another team makes a better offer, Houston just doesn't want to keep him in the AFC, then the Jets would be in a situation where it would come down to the guys that they draft. And there was a report yesterday from Ian Rappaport that the Jets are not in any hurry to make a decision, that they're going to analyze this year's quarterback class. They're going to analyze Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and they're not going to make a decision on Darnold until they're set on one of these quarterbacks. And that was a story that generated a lot of attention. It just seems obvious to me, though. I don't think you trade Darnold until you're sold on one of these guys. And that's an important thing to remember here. The decision is not necessarily only about whether you keep Sam Darnold or let Sam Darnold go. You have to figure out what your best alternative is. Even if you don't love Darnold, if you don't think Fields or Wilson or Trey Lance or Mac Jones or Kyle Trask or any of these other quarterbacks who are going to be available are any good, that you don't think that they're good prospects, there is a case, even if you're not a big Darnold fan, to be made to bring him back for one more year, see what he can do, you know, hope for the best, and then maybe make your move in a year. And, you know, this is, you know, I think it's just common sense that you'd hold on to Darnold until you make a firm decision on one of these quarterbacks, until you thoroughly evaluate all these guys and settle on one of them. You know, I don't think you move on from Darnold until you have your new quarterback in hand. And, you know, you look at the outlook of the NFL this offseason, there's going to be a lot of quarterback changes. So while some teams may make a move early and take themselves out of the Darnold sweepstakes like the Colts did trading for Carson Wentz, you get to draft day, there's still probably going to be teams that will need a quarterback where you could move Darnold if you draft one of these guys early. But it's, again, it's possible. I don't think it's the most likely scenario, but I think it is theoretically possible that the Jets either think Darnold can be salvaged, or they don't like any of these quarterbacks in this draft class and they decide to go forward with Darnold one more year. And of course, this is the type of thing that could radically shape the direction of the Jets this offseason, because if they decide to go with Darnold for one more year, then you're looking at a scenario where trading down in the first round becomes a very logical decision. And if that's the case, the Jets could get a lot of picks in return and really build up the rest of this roster. Of course, the alternative to that would be if the Jets like one of these quarterbacks, then you might just take the quarterback, because as good as all those picks would be, finding a long-term solution at the quarterback position would also be a franchise-altering decision. And of course, I mean, I think if Deshaun Watson could be had for a reasonable price, that's the obvious move. You know, that's the move you'd like to make. But again, I'm not sure that's necessarily the most likely scenario for the Jets, because there are lots of moving parts there. There are a lot of that situation involves things beyond the Jets' control. But, and you know, if the Jets are able to get Deshaun Watson for a reasonable price, it doesn't really matter what you think about Darnold. I think you do that, obviously. But if that doesn't happen, then the way the Jets view Darnold could obviously change things quite a bit. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all the sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And BetOnline also covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday, and on today's show we're talking about players who could shape the offseason approach of the New York Jets. And the reason they could shape the offseason approach of the Jets is we are not entirely sure what the front office thinks of them, and depending on how much the front office likes these players, it could impact where the Jets spend their free agent money and look in the draft. And the next category I'm going to talk about are players that we know are pretty solid, but their price tag is a question mark. And there's one player who's under contract and one player who's not. One guy is Jamison Crowder, the slot receiver, who comes with a cap hit next year of over $11 million. A lot of money for a guy who is not a 1,000-yard receiver, not a guy you run your passing game through. And then Marcus May, safety who's about to hit free agency. And I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here because I wanted Marcus May to be extended last offseason. And maybe the Jets could have gotten him at a reasonable price. Not to be. May goes out there and is the team MVP this year. And now he's about to hit the market. And now he's probably going to make a lot of money. And the question with these players is not whether they're productive players, because they are. The question is how much the Jets value them, because these are both players that I think in an ideal world you'd like for them to be around, but you also don't necessarily want to pay these guys among the elites at their position. And there's another factor that comes into play here. The Jets are putting in new schemes on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball, so I think there might be a little question, do they have the same utility as they had in Adam Gase's and Greg Williams' season, respectively? And I think that question is a little bit more pronounced for Crowder, because Adam Gase was focused on involving the slot receivers in his offense, and sometimes that was to his detriment in games when Crowder was out and Braxton Berrios was in, and the Jets still decided in the second half, we're going to run our offense through Braxton Berrios. But anyway, I'm going a little off the topic here with my Adam Gase rants. I think another question that comes into play is what's available, because this is looking like a pretty deep market at both the wide receiver positions. And at safety, there are always players available at a reasonable price. So there could be players available who could replace these guys at prices that won't break the bank. And if you think that these guys are too expensive, maybe that's the direction you go in. But these are also, again, also solid players. These are guys who are respected in the locker room by all accounts. So the question is, will the Jets have to go outside the organization to replace them, or will they decide to keep them? And that's something that could shape. These are both pretty high-profile players, both guys who have been important to the team in the past. So these are open questions right here. But these are good players. Our next category are guys who I have no idea what to expect from. And one of these guys is definitely going to be here next year, you would think. And one you don't really know. And I'm talking about C.J. Mosley and George Fant. And these guys are kind of enigmas for different reasons. Fant has always been a guy who has been viewed as a potential excellent starter at tackle. He's always been a potential guy. Whereas Mosley has gone out and proven it. He just hasn't played in 2 years. He's played two games in 2 years. He's been healthy for about three quarters of the last game in the last 2 years. For Fant, the question is, would the Jets go out and replace him? His contract is structured in a way that the Jets could pretty easily get out of it this offseason, whereas Mosley's is not. So the question is there a better tackle out there? And a lot of this comes back to how the Jets view Fant. Do the Jets view him as a starting caliber tackle? Or do they view his signing as kind of a disappointment? Were they expecting more from him last year? Do they think that maybe he's not going to reach that potential everybody's given him since he's entered the league? And if not, maybe they shop for a replacement at right tackle. With Mosley, I think it's more a confidence question, because his contract is so onerous that there's not really any way to get out of it. I think the question is, how much do they believe in Mosley? And again, this goes back to a new coaching staff, new system. How do they believe he fits in? And I think the question that is presented by Mosley is, how set do the Jets feel at linebacker? Do the Jets trust Mosley at linebacker? Do they think that he'll be able to come back after, again, essentially missing two seasons? And if they feel confident in him, if they feel like he can recapture the level of play that he was at in Baltimore, maybe they feel more confident at linebacker. Maybe they don't feel as pressured to go out and get a quality linebacker to play with it. Maybe they think Mosley can do some of the heavy lifting at the linebacker position, and perhaps they bring back a Neville Hewitt at a cheap price and they don't need to spend. Whereas if they don't have a lot of trust in Mosley, if they think that his game has deteriorated after missing 2 years, perhaps they are more inclined to go out and get a bigger name player, get somebody who can handle carrying the load, doing some of the heavy lifting at the linebacker position. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure exactly what to expect out of Fant or Mosley next year. So if I don't know what they're going to do, I certainly don't know what the Jets are thinking about either of these guys. And depending on what Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh and all the other decision makers think, it could have a big impact on the way the Jets allocate their offseason resources. If you're trying to fix your car or truck, you're looking for the best way to allocate your resources. And RockAuto.com offers low prices for everybody. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday. We are talking about players who could shape the offseason for the New York Jets, depending on what the front office and coaching staff think about them. And in our final segment, I'm going to talk about players who are really total wild cards from the standpoint that they don't really have much of a track record in the NFL, and they don't have a big draft pedigree. One player was a sixth round pick by another team. The other was an undrafted free agent signing. Sometimes when you draft a player in the early rounds, you pretty much commit to making that player a starter by year two or three. The guys I'm talking about really were not projected to be big-time players, but both of them saw playing time for the Jets at the end of last season due to injury, and I'm talking about Ty Johnson and Javelin Guidry. And I would not bet a lot on either player having a big role with the Jets in 2021 and beyond or succeeding, but these are guys who flashed enough that I wonder whether there's something there. And for Johnson, he plays a position running back, which I don't think is going to be a big focus. I don't think it's a position where the Jets are going to commit premium resources, first of all, because just based on the way Joe Douglas has operated in his time here, and based on what I know about him, I don't see the Jets being a team that really values the running back position highly, but also because of the system they put in. It's the quote-unquote Kyle Shanahan system, and the Shanahans are famous for not really putting a ton of value into the running back position. Their scheme has always been based more on blocking. You know, if you go all the way back to Mike Shanahan in Denver, they were a team that was famous for just constantly putting late-round picks in every year and getting a 1,000-yard rusher. If you go to Houston, when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator there, Arian Foster developed into one of the best backs in the NFL. He was an undrafted free agent. Kyle and Mike were together in Washington. Alfred Morris was a late round pick who had success there. And then in San Francisco, they made some moderate free agent signings, but they were not spending big money on Le'Veon Bell. So, you know, I think the question is Ty Johnson the kind of guy the Jets think could fit in the new system? And if he is, maybe he could be a low-cost option. Otherwise, do the Jets go outside the organization? It's not really a question whether they're going to spend a lot of money, but it's more a question, are they going to try and address the running back position in free agency and spend maybe a moderate amount of money? We're not going to see any Le'Veon Bell contracts, but will they give out, you know, a little bit of money, or will they save it and go with Ty Johnson? And Guidry, it's a similar concept. I think the question is how much they believe in him. He had a few moments near the end of the season replacing an injured Brian Poole. Now, Poole has been one of the Jets' best players the last 2 years, and he plays a position slot corner, which is important in today's NFL, but it's a position where the league has not really caught up with how important it is, because those guys don't make a lot of money, and they tend not to be drafted early. You look at the slot corners in the NFL, a lot of the really good ones were either late-round picks or undrafted free agents, as was Guidry. So it's not necessarily a position you need to spend big at. And it's a position where, although the odds are against any late-round pick or undrafted free agent, your odds are a little bit better at playing the slot corner spot, because a lot of the good guys fall to later on in the draft or go undrafted altogether. So I don't think it's totally out of the question. Again, I would not bet on it, but if the Jets really believe they have something in Guidry, if they liked what he did late last year, if they think with an offseason of work that they can coach him up to a point where he can play the position credibly, maybe they let Poole go and that frees up a little bit of money for them to spend elsewhere. So it's kind of, you're not saving big money with either players, but it's a little bit of money that you could save and use to address other positions by going with a really cheap player who's already on your team. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy this podcast, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Have a great Tuesday, everybody, and send in your mailbag questions for our Wednesday mailbag show.